A reading from Luke, the 7th chapter. After Jesus had finished all his sayings in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. A centurion there had a slave whom he valued highly and who was ill and close to death. When he heard about Jesus, he sent some Jewish elders to him, asking him to come and heal his slave. When they came to Jesus, they appealed to him earnestly, saying,
"He is worthy of having you do this for him, for he loves our people, and it is he who built our synagogue for us."
And Jesus went with them, but when he was not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to say to him,
"Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy to have you come under my roof. Therefore, I did not presume to come to you, but only speak the word and let my servant be healed. For I also am a man set under authority with soldiers under me. And I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my slave, do this, and the slave does this."
When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him. And turning to the crowd that followed him, he said,
"I tell you, not even in Israel have I found such faith."
When those who had been sent returned to the house, they found the slave in good health. Soon afterwards, he went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went with him. As he approached the gate of the town, a man who had died was being carried out. He was his mother's only son, and she was a widow, and with her was a large crowd from the town. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion for her and said to her,
"Do not weep."
Then he came forward and touched the bearer, and the bearer stood still. And he said,
"Young man, I say to you, rise."
The dead man sat up and began to speak. And Jesus gave him to his mother. Fear seized all of them, and they glorified God, saying,
"A great prophet has risen among us,
and
God has looked favorably on his people."
This word about him spread throughout Judea and all the surrounding country. The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Let us pray. Lord, you are a light unto our feet, a light unto our path. Thank you, O Lord, for the opportunity to come here at this moment in this time to hear from you through this message, Lord. I pray that we hear your voice in what is said, and that it touches us wherever we may be. Lord, speak to me, speak for me, and speak through me. May the meditations of all of our hearts, O Lord, be pleasing in your sight, for you indeed are our rock and our strength. Amen. Today in our gospel reading, the writer Luke shares the stories of two healings, that of a centurion servant and the other of a widow's son. The first story of the centurion soldier requesting help from Jesus for his servant is also shared in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 8, verses 5 through 13. There are some notable differences by the gospel writers. In Matthew's account, the centurion goes to Jesus. In Luke, he sends Jewish elders. In both accounts, Jesus prepares to answer the request by going to the home of the centurion. However, the centurion tells Jesus his physical presence is not needed. Only speak the word and my servant will be healed. The centurion trusts Jesus' authority to command the healings as sufficient for the healing to occur. The power of Jesus' word is sufficient to heal. In both accounts, Jesus marvels. He's surprised, amazed by the faith of the centurion who believes that Jesus does not need to be physically present for his servant to be healed. That by Jesus' authority, he can heal simply by his word or desire for it to happen. In Matthew's account, Jesus tells the centurion, "Go, let it be done for you according to your faith." In Luke's, we do not hear Jesus even speak a word of healing. In both accounts, the servant is healed by the time the centurion or messengers arrive home. In both accounts, Jesus is asked to heal the servant. This posture is one that is most likely familiar to us. After all, we so often seek Jesus' intervention by asking. We did so this afternoon by the many prayer requests that we named. Whether they were prayers for healing, thanksgiving, strength, protection, we laid our requests before God so that our heart's desire could be known. And we wait with hopefully the confidence of the centurion that our requests will be heard and answered. In the second story, the widow's son, we see Jesus healing in a different way, without being asked. In this account, we are told that upon entering the town of Nain, Jesus witnesses the funeral procession. Recognizing that this is the widow's only son, Jesus has compassion for the woman and heals her son. This healing is from death to life. Jesus says, "Young man, I say to you, rise." Can you imagine the look of astonishment on the faces of those in the funeral procession? First, Jesus interrupts the procession to talk to the mother, "Do not weep," and then proceeds to the body and touches, scripture says, the bier, which is the stand or stretcher on which the body is being carried. Then Jesus commands the body to rise and returns him to his mother. An intentional act of caring. In this narrative, Jesus intercedes without being asked. He recognizes that this woman is experiencing multiple loss: the emotional loss of her son, the economical ramifications of not having a male to care for her, and he's concerned for her. He offers a healing that goes beyond what is immediately seen to the long-term impact of that loss. In both of these stories, Jesus placed himself at risk to be judged by the willingness to enter a non-Jew's home to honor the centurion's request for healing and by touching the dead body of the widow's son. Jesus responded out of care. Before us today are two stories, one of healing and faith, the another of healing and compassion. Faith and compassion. Faith and compassion. Two themes that have importance for us today. Faith is trusting that God's promises to us remain true. "I will be with you always to the ends of ages. Come to me, and I will carry your heavy burdens and exchange your weariness with my yoke, which is lighter, thus providing rest for your bodies and soul." Leaving us his peace and a command not to be afraid, just to name a few. Can you think of other promises? The other theme, compassion. The dictionary Webster-Merriam defines compassion as having pity, feeling sorry for, and being concerned for others. However, Jesus' compassion, his concern and well-being for the other, was more than pity. The Greek word translated into compassion is to be moved in the inward parts. It was the gut-wrenching reaction. You know that kind of feeling when something grips you so deep there are no words? Let us sit with that image for a moment. This past year, we have experienced some of those moments. Living with the pandemics of the COVID virus that resulted in our isolation, the loss of loved ones at unprecedented rates, not being able to worship in familiar ways, the heightened tension around racial divide that has pit family members and friends against each other, turned neighbors into enemies, and disrupted our way of governing our country, so much so that we experienced the violent eruption of emotions at the Capitol on Epiphany. Or, to bring it even closer to home, perhaps it was the feeling we experienced when we learned that our dear siblings in Christ, Jill Shook or Don Linder, passed away. Or for some, it may have been the announcement that Pastor John had received a pacemaker. It is the unexpectedness of it. Let me be clear. I know we have each had individual losses in our families, in our congregations. Those losses still continue to impact us. And this is not intended to lift up one over another, but rather as shared examples to describe that moment of deep, gut-wrenching response when we received the news. All of our experience this year impacted each of us, I suspected, closer to Jesus' response of compassion. They provoked in us a variety of emotions that I was suspect was, and I hope, was far stronger than pity. These experiences have certainly challenged us, it's challenged me, to rely on and lean into our faith, the promises of God, in a fresh new way. It has moved us away from our comfort zones. I hope they have also evoked the compassionate response of Jesus, that it has been more than pity and concern about the unfairness, the injustice we see, hear, and feel. If I may draw our attention back to Jesus in these stories, Jesus was amazed at the centurion's fate, and he had compassion for the widow. But it did not stop there. Jesus responded. Jesus acted. Healing of the sick servant and of the widow's son came about because Jesus acted. Healing happened with action. Compassion is action. We have so many areas of healing needed today in our world, our nation, our community, our churches, and our families. It will require that we, like Jesus, engage in the compassionate response that as children of God, we cannot sit by. Our faith, complete trust, our compassion, gut-wrenching response moves us to action, embolden us to act justly, lovingly, and continuously. Martin Luther King Jr. said it this way: true compassion is more than flinging a coin to a beggar. It is not haphazard and superficial. It comes to see that an edifice that produces beggar needs to be restructured. In other words, the action of compassion results in transformative change, lasting structural changes within individual and within our systems and institutions. It is a transformative change that Jesus has commanded us to and invited us into, to love one another as we love ourselves. That is not easy. We often struggle with what it means to love ourselves. And so extending that outward is a challenge, one that we face daily, one that is not optional if we are to live out Jesus's witness to and for others. The amazing thing about the centurion's fate is he was an outsider, a non-Jew, a man who did not learn the teachings of Jesus directly. His interactions with his servants exposed him to the teachings of Israelites and to Jesus. He came away changed, at least sufficiently open to recognizing Jesus's authority. The widow and her son came away changed, even though they hadn't even asked. They were given a new beginning, a second chance to be in relationship with each other and to be living, pun intended, witnesses to what God had done in their lives and what God can do in the lives of others. We cannot be in true relationship with each other and not experience transformation. We cannot encounter Jesus in the written word and not experience the transformative presence of Jesus within us. We cannot teach, read, eat the living word, Jesus, that is the example of the gospel we hold dear, and not be transformed for ourselves and for others. We too can experience that kind of transformative change. Our churches, our communities, our country can experience that transformative change. If we are open to listening to the other, if we are willing to put aside our own perceptions and allow the other to share their experiences. Jesus listened to the non-Jews' requests, and Jesus saw the pain of the widow, and Jesus acted. Learning from our past is important, and it is necessary for healing to occur, but it's not enough. We have seen the pain, we have heard the cries. We are also called to act today. Not to blame, not to point fingers, not to continue harming each other with divisions. It is not red or blue, white or persons of color, male or female, rich or poor, young or old, citizens or non-citizens. These distinctions fail to honor the complexity of our world and the simplicity of our creation. They serve to draw us apart and fail to see the beauty of and in the rich diversity God has created us to be. Rather, we act so that we can begin the healing that is so needed, that we all so desperately need. We act so that we can learn and engage with each other out of a love that is fueled by, guided by Jesus' response of compassion, a gut-wrenching desire to see the best in and for the other. A gut-wrenching desire that moves us from a complacency to a posture of actively caring, even when we are not sure how. It is the same loving care that led Jesus to die on the cross for us. It is the same loving care that have made us one through the waters of baptism. It is the same loving care that will help us to see, to hear, and prayerfully to act. How do we do this? How can we begin or continue that transformative response that comes from Christ-like compassion? Let me suggest just one place to start. Allowing the living word Jesus to be our guide, to allow the light that is Jesus as our example, his ministry and his presence within us that gives us life to direct us. Then we move. As the psalmist so eloquently says, your word, the living word, Jesus, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto our path. May it be so. Amen.